Good evening, and a lichtige Chanukah, an enlightening Chanukah is probably the best wish, most appropriate greeting for seventh night of Chanukah. So let's continue from where we were last week and finish off to try and get a sort of a true perspective as to what was going on between the 10 brothers and Yosef, and maybe to finish off with something inspirational on Chanukah. And that could be a message that will hopefully enter into the Kehillah's homes. So as far as we got to last week was the following. Number one, just quickly recap. It's inconceivable that Yaakov Avinu would have been guilty of something that I think any sensible parent would know not to do. And the fact that the Gemara warns us and says, don't have favorites amongst your children, because as a result, we went down to Mitzrayim. That we saw last week, Tosfos straightaway asked and says, what do you mean? That was already prophesied by Avraham Avinu. That was already a nevuah to Avraham Avinu, the Bris Ben Abesorim, we're going down to Mitzrayim. Surely Yaakov Avinu wasn't a petty favorite, giving him an extra coat more than everybody else and causing incredible strife between them. But the truth is, what happened was that Yaakov Avinu saw that Yosef had a special role to play. And that role was going to be and needed to be for the sake of everyone, for the sake of all the brothers, was Yosef's ability to remain steadfast and to remain stand right through Golas. And Yaakov Avinu needed to give him, he knew that the dreams were true. He knew that that's what was going to happen, and that Yosef needed the training. He needed the teaching of the Torah to be able to keep him steadfast. And the Ksonis Pasim had with it a whole lot of special messages to him that he was to stay Pasim, as you mentioned, Potiphar, Sar Tabochim, and Yud Yishmaelim, and Mem Midyonim. Through the various hands that he was passed as a slave, he was to remain steadfast and to see it all through. So that's what it was. But what the Gemara is saying is, you can see how altruistic Yaakov was, how it was clearly not favoritism, but there's still left room for ill feelings to harbor and to fester. And indeed, however great the Shvatim were, and they were interested in a silly extra coat, that wasn't what it was. What it was is they imagined and built up a completely wrong picture that Yaakov Avinu was singling out Yosef to be his continuation and not them. That's what they were worried about and they were concerned about. And that led to the ill feeling between them. And therefore, basically what the Gemara is saying is, you can never be careful enough. And I'll mention this because different children have different needs. And different needs means that sometimes you do need to give more to one child than another. It means that some children will need extra help. Some children will need extra attention because they're struggling. And you have other children who are flying. Nonetheless, this is what the Gemara is trying to tell us. Be terribly careful, because even with Yaakov Avinu, as great as he was, and as great as the Shvatim were, there was still room left for ill feelings to fester between them. And therefore, one can't be careful enough. One has to explain to the children. One has to do everything one can to make sure that we treat our children fairly in all ways. And not easy. It's not easy because their needs are different. So fairly doesn't necessarily mean equally, but it means that it has to be felt by the children that each and every one of them is important, is equally important to their parents, as is the other. And that's what the Gemara means. On the point of why the Shvatim would want to cold-bloodedly kill their brother, something that you don't have to be as great as they were not to be able to even dream of doing such a thing. Certain, and then, you know, special dispensation, yeah, we'll throw him into a pit full of scorpions and poisonous scorpions and snakes, not really much of a reduction in sentence, and then to sell him off in the end to slavery, which in those days meant certain death one way or another. And in fact, were it not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention, that's what would have happened. So the answer is that the Shvatim, as we started talking last week, they perceived and they built up a picture that Yosef was trying to exclude them, was working hard to build a picture in Yaakov Avinu, in their father's eyes, that they were sinners, that they were the equivalent of Esau to Yaakov. They were the equivalent of Yishmael to Yitzchak. And Yosef was going to be the Yitzchak and Yaakov going on to Yosef, and they would be totally sidelined. They would be, so to speak, without the brachas, like Esau was, like Yishmael was paid off and sent elsewhere. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram to listen to Sarah, that was right. And they felt that they were going to get the same treatment again. And that to them was not just about, of course, a silly coat, which cost two shloim. I only say silly in terms of putting things into perspective. And it wasn't jealousy because in any petty sense at all, it was a real sense of concern of being excluded by Yaakov Avinu from both Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo, which was much more to it, not meriting to have the spiritual continuation and privilege to be the children, the fully fledged lineage going down from Yaakov Avinu. And of course, that wasn't true because that's who we are, Klal Yisrael. We are from each of the 12 Shvatim, never mind what we are now because of the Churban, etc. But in principle, that's what Klal Yisrael is. 12 tzaddikim, and they're all the Shvatim, all the same. But they got that wrong. And they felt that Yosef was trying to do two things. Number one, he was trying to, so to speak, he was trying to kill them in the spiritual sense, completely exclude them, and have them driven away from Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, that was a sense of redifa, a sense of pursuit, to murder, to exclude, to strangle. And therefore the din is that someone tries to kill you, you've got a mitzvah to try and kill them. And therefore this is why they were judging him, that he was chayv misa. Number two is that Yosef was, the dreams were all about, again, stealing the rule, stealing the kingship and the reign from Yehuda, who it belonged to, and explicit pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, lo yosel shevet miYehuda. There's an actual prohibition to take away the malchus from Yehuda. So David HaMelech, what was going to be with Shaul is an interesting question, something else. But David HaMelech from Yehuda and all the malchus came from Yehuda. In fact, it's very topical because the Chashmonaim, who literally saved Klal Yisrael. If it wouldn't have been for Matisyo, Kohen Gadol, and his family, so really I should say Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, and his family, because Yochanan Kohen Gadol had a son called Matisyo. Matisyo and his sons went to fight, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol joined them, so it says in Megillas Antiochus. But not just that, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol had a very special daughter called Yehudis. So one family and one family only of Chashmonaim, they're the ones who saved us all from total assimilation. There'd be nothing left of us. Huge zechus, huge merits this family have. Yet the Gemara tells us they went too far. They, after the Hanukkah story, they held on to the reins of kingship, of leadership in Klal Yisrael. And that was a blatant transgression of Lo Yosel Shevet Yehuda, Mi Yehuda. Yehuda's got to be the king, not Chashmonaim, who were from Levi. And as a result, the Gemara says that there was nothing left of the family. The family ceased to exist. So they just died out, the Gemara says. That as a result of this, so absolutely they felt that this was Morid B'Malchus. In English, treason. And therefore,
can I just ask, Well, maybe it wasn't evident until Yaakov gave the bracha in Parshas Vayechi that Yehuda was to be king. I mean, maybe Yehuda earned it by the way he, you know, acknowledged his mistake with Tamar, and also the way he confronted Yosef over Binyamin. He took the lead. But did they know beforehand that he was destined to be the Melech?
So I think yes. In other words, otherwise it would have been Reuven. So it was a transfer there from Reuven to Yehuda. And you're right, that happens. The Pasuk says in Vayechi that Reuven, Pachas Kamayim, Al Tosa, and Pachas Kamayim, so the Pasuk says, I'm not going to say it by heart for two reasons. One is I'll get it slightly wrong. And the other reason is maybe more important, that you're not supposed to say Pesukim by heart. So Reuven, Bechori Ato, you're my firstborn. Koichi, but Vereshus only, you're my first. Yes, Eseis, Yes, Oz. Pachas Kamayim. You are hasty, like running water. Altosa ki olisa mishkavei avicha. The reason why he was punished, it seems to say in the pasuk, is because he interfered with Yaakov Avinu's marital relation arrangements between his wives. So that's what's mentioned over here. But you're quite right, Mr. Levy, to say that there seems to be some element of what was going on with Binyamin, where Yaakov Avinu felt that Reuven wasn't really, shall I put it, wasn't completely on the mark, whereas Yehuda was. But I think it's more Yehuda Yoducha Achecho Yodcho Ba'Ulfavivecho Ishtach V'Lucho Bneimecho, which is the Melucha. So Yehuda, because of quite right, but that was, if you like, between Reuven and Yehuda. But it certainly wasn't Yosef. On the other hand, Yosef's dreams were not just dreams. He wasn't agitating Yosef. Why did he agitate? He knew there was trouble. Why did he provoke and jab them in the ribs by telling them these dreams? The answer is, these dreams were not just dreams. They were, in effect, they were a nevuah. They were a nevuah prophecy, and the prophet has received the prophecy from Hashem and keeps it to himself and doesn't publicize it as he's supposed to do his chayv misa. He had to tell those dreams, and those dreams were real dreams. Although it was true that Yehuda was going to be the Melech, but Yosef was going to be the Melech in Mitzrayim, he was going to be the Melech in Golus, and there you had the Yosef and the Rochel and the Leah. You have the Rochel that you need in Golus, that power to weather the storm and to see it through and to remain as steadfast as if he wasn't in Mitzrayim. So, in a legendary way, Yosef managed to bring up on his own two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, who Yaakov Avinu testifies that Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvim v'Shimon Yuli, they are every bit as worthy. And in fact, when Levi steps out of the equation, so the Shvatim are made up of Yosef, so to speak, steps aside, and we're left with Ephraim and Manasseh to make up the 12 again. So Ephraim and Manasseh are on a level of a stature that they can replace, so to speak. They can stand up and hold their own amongst the other brothers. Amazing. Yosef has done this in a way that none of the others could. And therefore, we have this, and therefore, this was a true malchus, a melucha, a temporary melucha of Yosef, and in fact, an absolutely integral and fundamental gene that Klal Yisrael needed to be able to weather the vast majority of history in Golus, relative to times of where we've had the Beis Hamikdash, and even then, many times the Beis Hamikdash, the second bias, we were not in our own, we were not in control of ourselves. We were under the thumb of nations of the world, and therefore, this is what the dreams were, and it was a true nevuah, but again, it was taken the wrong way and misunderstood. So, addressing the question, did the Shvatim, the 10 Shvatim, did they get it wrong? Yes, they definitely did get it wrong. But was this a crude and coarse and cruel action that they did? No, they did it in absolute belief that Yosef was Chayav Misa, and that's what they had to do. They did not want to upset their father with it. They did not want to add to the anguish, and therefore they just got on with it. But was that wrong? Of course it was wrong. Because very simply, it was a real nevuah. That's the way it was going to be, and that's the way it had to be. But as we mentioned last week, the Zohar says explicitly, and it's here as well in the Mefarshim of the Mikras Gedolos Mor v'Shemesh, they explain, it says the following. The fact that why could Yaakov Avinu possibly send Yosef on this mission to find his brothers when he was sending Yosef into the lion's den? Surely, Yaakov Avinu realized that relations had cooled considerably between them, and there was real trouble. And even if Yaakov Avinu hadn't realized it, Yosef knew it. So how could Yosef put his life in danger in order to fulfill Kibbutz? He should have either refused on that basis, or not refused, but just not done it. The answer, the Zohar says, quite right. This was something that was illogical. That is the only way to understand it is sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the bechira, the free choice of a person from seeing it clearly as they would normally see it and make the right decision. Why? In order to bring about that we would go to Mitzrayim and that we would have that pre-training, that training that we needed in order to receive the Torah, to say Nase v'nishma, where the rest of the nations of the world were simply unable to do it. They had to say what's in it and work it out for themselves. As I've mentioned times before, that if we question Hashem when it comes to mitzvahs, I want to understand the reason behind the mitzvahs, but if our understanding is a prerequisite to our acceptance and us conceding to do what Hashem asks us of us, then we're not serving Hashem, we're serving Hashem, ourselves. It's self-worship, because we've worked it out, it makes sense. So we're not serving Hashem, we're serving ourselves. And that's why all the nations of the world said, Hashem, would you like the Torah? They all said, what's in it? So what's in it means, if we're happy with it, we'll do it. If it's not logical to us and it doesn't sit well with us, we won't do it. So even if they'd said yes, it wouldn't have been serving Hashem. It wouldn't have been accepting Hashem's Torah. It would have been accepting their own Torah. And they said, no, we can't do this, each one for their reason. Klal Yisrael had been trained in Mitzrayim. When Paro says jump, you jump. When Paro says go for it, you go for it. There's no if, there's no but, there's no why. That training changed our whole psychic. It made us, second nature was, we're told to do something, we do it. Avodim to Paro, we were fit to be Avodim to Hashem. Hashem says, we've learned the Torah. We said, Nase v'nishma. Not foolishly, trustingly, but we learnt to have trust and to do things. It's an army training. That's what it is. It's a discipline. And that's what we needed. And we needed to get down to Mitzrayim. Did Yosef come to any harm in the end? No, he didn't. Why? Because Hashem protected him. Yaakov Avinu, by the way, to add to the question, how could Yaakov send him down? Yaakov Avinu must have realized there was some danger, because Yaakov Avinu accompanied Yosef. He accompanied all the way to Shechem. And the reason why he accompanies him, and that's where we learn, there's a din, that when somebody leaves your house, you must accompany them. Accompanying them brings a shmirah, a protection upon the person who you're accompanying. And that's part of our obligation under Gemilas Chesed and Hachnosas Orchim, being hospitable, is accompanying our guests out on their way, because when we accompany them as far as we do, sometimes it means literally taking them home, but sometimes just to accompany them on their way, then Ki malochov yetzave loch nishmorcho b'chol d'rochecho, as a pasuk we say often in Yosef b'seisa elyoin, and that is that the malochim, every person has malochim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispatches to protect every person when they are accompanied. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu felt that that would be safe. The truth of the matter is, again, and this I'm taking from the Shlichus Yaakovus Yosef from this Pirushir in the Koros Gedolos, he says, interestingly enough, the brothers were not in Shechem. Why did they move from Shechem to go to Doison? That's where they went to. They went, and this is what this man who he met, who was a malach, who directed him to his brothers. Why should Hashem send a malach to send Yosef into the lion's den? Baruch Hashem, they weren't there. Amazing. Why did Hashem send a malach? The answer is, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yosef down to Mitzrayim. And therefore, he sent them there. And therefore, and the rest happened as it happened. Interestingly, so that's what it is, that it was for our good, it was the way it had to be, and therefore certain things the Shvatim are certainly culpable for their decision. Their decision was a wrong decision. This is very important. When we see caricatures in Tanakh who were great people who made mistakes, so it says in the Pasuk quite clearly, Vayikanu Roi Echov, his brothers were jealous. Vayisnu Oisei, and they hated him. Is it true that they were jealous and they hated him? Yes, it is. But is it true? Because otherwise the Pasuk wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. But this is the Masorah that we have from those who truly understand Hashkofa of the Torah and how to interpret it, which is a Masorah handed us from generation down to generation. And that's the following, that when you're talking about great people, although the Torah puts it, describes it in terms that to us seems extremely coarse and callous and cruel, etc., but it isn't to be taken on a simple level, meaning there was jealousy, there was hate, there was rife in the simple sense. No, it wasn't. But it was, because it doesn't make sense. A great person is only great, not because he's got a long beard, not because he's learned a lot of Torah and he's intellectually, he's a brilliant scholar and he's got whatever it is. A great person is somebody who has applied the Torah to themselves and polished their character so that they behave in a godly way. They behave in a way they're above all of the human scars and downfalls and shortcomings. That's the by definition a great person. Otherwise, they're not great. So if the Shvatim were so great, and they are, and we know they're great, so how could they have made this mistake? So the answer is they didn't make a mistake. It wasn't simple jealousy. They couldn't care less about the extra coat. They couldn't care less about Yosef being, so to speak, teacher's pet. That's ridiculous. What they were worried about was the Ruchnius. They were worried about being excluded. They were worried that Yosef was purposely painting the most ugly picture of them in order to frame them, in order that Yosef would be the one and not them. And therefore, this was of a Ruchnius level. He was Chayv Misa because of this. He was Chayv Misa because of that. But, says Rav Ordman, Jack Alderman's father, says of Alderman is safe enough at Hassandas, that there was an aspect of jealousy and of hatred that was not totally l'shem shamayim, even with their mistake, and that led them to make this mistake. That led them maybe not to communicate with Yaakov Avinu. Why don't you ask Yaakov Avinu, the God of Lado? Ask him about it. And they built up this picture, etc. There was a flaw. There was a flaw there. And therefore, for that flaw, however so fine and refined, they were culpable for that. And therefore, that's what happened over there. That's what happened between the two of them. What's between the two parties? Clearly, their wanting to put him to death was because they felt that he was Chayv Misa, and that's the way it had to be. When later they put him into a pit, is because they felt that as a brother, that was clearly not for them to literally kill him, but they will put him in a position where he would be killed after that by natural causes, snakes and scorpions, etc., starvation in the pit, whatever would be. But and then Reuven came along and he said, no, it's true that he is Chayv Misa, but we can sell him and that will do it again. Further removed, it's not a direct putting him into a pit and snakes and scorpions. It would be selling him and eventually he would meet his fate somewhere along the line, as they firmly believed he deserved. And even 22 years later, when the encounter with Sofnas Paneach, who they, of course, didn't know was Yosef, and they were put in an impossible position, and they turned round and they said, "What, you know why we're having this tzoros? Avol Hashemim Anachnu, because we are guilty." Why? They don't say they're guilty for selling Yosef. They say we're guilty because we didn't listen to his pleading when we nonetheless sold him. We should have had more rachmanas. We needed to do what we did. 22 years later, after 22 years of cheshbon hanefesh, they still felt what they did was right. And what happened to them, why they were going through the mangle in Mitzrayim, was because they didn't have any rachmanas, and therefore Hashem isn't having rachmanas with them. They didn't think they'd done the wrong thing. Until Yosef reveals himself. And when Yosef reveals himself in next week's Sedra, in Parshas Vayigash, so then Yosef says, Ani Yosef, and that is Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Dalet, and I'm Yosef, your brother, Hashem Achatim Usi Mitzrayim, you sold me to Mitzrayim, straight away, but now Al Te'otzu, don't be sad, Alicha Beinechem, don't be cross, Kimachatim Usi Heimor, that you sold me here. Why, says Yosef, unbelievable, Ki Be'ein Ki Lemichyo, for sustenance purposes, Shlochani Elokim Lifneichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me here, in front of you. I had to get ahead of you and be there before you, because you were destined to arrive. And I needed to be put into position by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to look after you. And he goes on to say, Vayishlocheini Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, Lifneichem, in front of you. Interesting, Elokim Midas Hadin. Vasum Lochem Sheiris Baritz, to be able to place a remnant that you should still remain and you shouldn't be totally wiped out, he says. Ulahachios lochem lefleto gadolo, in order to give you life and that you should have a great escape from the huge famine that's going on. And then he says, Ve'aton, and now, Leatem shalachtem usiheino, you should know, it's not you who did it. Yosef wasn't flattering, and this wasn't a time for that. This is what Yosef understood from the beginning. It wasn't them who sold him. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the opportunity to make the mistake. And one's got to be very careful with this, but this is in the Zohar, because otherwise nobody's got any bichur. Whatever you do wrong, it's part of the master plan. Terribly sorry I bumped so-and-so off. Terribly sorry I've robbed the bank. But you know, it's just been a shemayim. The money for the bank had to get somewhere else, and that's it. This is crazy. Absolutely not. We can only work with the Mefarshim in Chumash, because otherwise, but it's explicit in the Pasuk. Why would Yosef say, Lo atem shlachtim osiheino, you didn't send me a, he should have said to them, you so-and-sos, you got it wrong. And the kindness of my heart, I'll forgive you. I'll look after you. I won't do to you what you did to me, etc., etc. That would have been what he would say, you know, etc. No, he says to them, in his first breaths, his first words to them, after revealing himself, Lo atem shalachtem osiheino. You need to know, you didn't really do this, ki ho elokim. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took you over. By the way, very, very important, with the whole episode with Yehuda and Tomo, the same is true. The Mefarshim say the same. How can you imagine Yehuda, as great as Yehuda was, and he was absolutely the head of the Malchus. Yehuda was an incredible, and Yaakov Avinu never, although he ticks Shimon and Levi off for wiping out Shechem, he doesn't in any way tell Yehuda off for what happened with Yehuda and Tomo. On the contrary, you admitted and you had the gumption to stand up and say, yes, she is conceiving from me. And he had the gumption. And therefore, and Yaakov only praised him for it. So what happens? What do you mean? How can you behave like this? The son of Yaakov of Vinu, how can you behave in such a promiscuous way? What a terrible thing. What a terrible blot in Yaakov Avinu's family's copybook. How can this possibly be impossible? No. So the Mefarshim say explicitly that in order to bring about these children that came from Tamar, that would be in the end, come from Mashiach ben David, would come from those. Therefore, this is the way it had to be. Is it something that could ever have been allowed and permitted in the normal way? No. although the Ramban explains that it's a concept of Yibum, and that's why it's supposed to be. But there was no legislation to allow this. But in the Mefarshim, Ramban says explicitly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Bechira away from Yehuda and in order to make what happened happen. Yehuda was never criticized for it. Yosef says, the main culpability of what happened is not upon you. The main charge is not upon you, because Le'atim Shlachtim Usiheno Ki Ho Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, Midas Hadin, by Yisimeni Le'ov Le'faru, and that's what he did. And that's how he put me on top of Paro. And indeed, look at this. Right at the end, in Parshas Vayechi, after Yaakov Avinu is Nifta, and they're coming back from the Kavura, Moros HaMachpelah, what happened was the following. They turn round to him and they think, oy vey, Yaakov Avinu is no longer alive. You know, like Esav waited for Yitzchak to be able to try and dispense with Yaakov, he's going to do the same. Yosef's opportunity to dispense with us. The same theme, but they have this chronic worry that this is what Yosef was going to do. So they turn around and they say to him, please forgive. They made up and said that Yaakov Avinu had given the special message over, as Rashi explains. Everything I've told you, I've taken from the Pirushim and Chumash. Vayomer aleihem Yosef. Yosef's response was, Al tira'u, don't fear. Ki hasachas Elokim oni. Am I instead of Hashem? Whatever account you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your business between Hashem and you. It's got nothing to do with me. Batem chashavtem olai ro'o. You, says the Pasuk, here, Perik Nun, Pasuk Chof, you had bad intentions. Ba'elokim chashavo l'teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth is a very, very important piece of Hashkofa. When you have a wicked person who does terrible things, what he does in this world will become part of the master plan. But his wicked intentions will mean that he will get no reward for doing so. So nobody does anything in this world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu willing it to happen. But if a person decides to do something wicked and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him, and many people want to do wicked things Hashem does not allow, but sometimes Hashem does allow, they can't come back at the end of time and say to Hashem, you see what a wonderful thing I did? That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zorah says, that based on the base, that at the end of time, the nations of the world will queue up and say, the Romans will say, we built roads and bridges for the Jewish people, for Klal Yisrael. This one will say, I built this for the Jewish people, I built that for the Jewish people. And Hashem will tell them, you fools. It's true that in fact, what you created was for the Jewish people. It was for the sake of keeping the Torah. But that wasn't your kavana, that wasn't your intention, and you get absolutely zero credit for it. I, Hashem will say, utilized your wickedness to bring something good to happen. And therefore, he says, you didn't think, you thought only bad things. Elokim chashavo l'teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the bad intention for good, because leman asei kayom azeh, to bring about, to make happen, like this very day, lehachios amrov, to be able to bring, to give life to a huge nation, to a large nation, to Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. And don't worry, he says, atal tiro, onoichei chalchel eschem, I'm going to look after you and sustain you. It's not my business. I live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we mentioned last week. Yosef lived with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't interested in what anybody did or didn't do. That wasn't his business. His business was to remain close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live with Hashem. Whatever Hashem did was for the good. It was the master plan. It had to be, it was going to work out right. And that is what it was. And that's what he said, what you did. Now, what made the brothers suddenly worry when Yaakov was Nifter? So the Baal HaTurim says that on his way back from Maros HaMachpelah, Yosef HaTzadik, or they all did, passed by the place where Yosef was put into the pit. He went past. He recognized this as the pit that I was thrown into. And there's a din. if a nes has happened to a person and you pass this place, you've got to make a brocha. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam she'asa li nes b'mokim zeh. Thank you, Hashem. That's really she'asa nisim lavaseinu that we're saying in Chanukah. She'asa nisim lavaseinu. That is what we're saying. Bayomim oim bazman azeh. At this time, at the time that it happens, and at the place that it happens, even if it wasn't the time, but you get back to the place, you haven't been there for 30 days, you've got to make a brocha. So Yosef Atzalit looked into the pit, and he saw, and he made a brocha. And they saw this and thought, oive, this is Yosef Atzalit sort of revving up, so to speak, to take revenge, to avenge what's happened to him. But it wasn't. It was a genuine thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving him. That's what the Baal HaTorah mentions it. Perek Nun on Pasuk Tezvov. And that's why Kishchazu Milikvos Aviam on the way back, Yosef passed the pit. And that's what happened. And as a result, they thought that he was going to have his moment of revenge, or maybe more than a moment. And he assured them, no way. Because whatever happens is due to Hashem. So yes, there is this mixture here of, on the one hand, we have to take charge of ourselves and of our actions. We're culpable, we're responsible, and we've got to make the right decision. It can sometimes happen, and it's not for the person themselves to, so to speak, justify themselves. The brothers lived in absolute horror of what they've done right through the years. It's not for a person to to patter themselves, to absolve themselves of responsibility for one's actions as a result of saying, well, it was part of the master plan. No way. But the truth of the matter is that what happened and why it happened, etc., there was a certain, the Zohar says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did take over the brothers to a certain extent and took away most of their Bechira in order to bring us down to Mitzrayim. But however, some of that decision process didn't come from the purest of places. There was kinah, there was sinah, ever so slight, but that ever so slight went terribly wrong. And therefore, they were punished for the ever so slight. They were not punished for the enormity and crudeness of what they did, not to that extent. And that's the way to understand it. That's the way to understand what was going on. Yosef, certain things that Yosef did was also not correct in the Motzi Shemra that he told over to, that he told about his brothers. There was some aspect of it which was also something. And therefore, there was tiny little chippings that were missing from a shlemus, from the perfect person. And those flaws are what claim responsibility and culpability. That gives us the picture. That gives us a picture that we've got. Let's just finish off with a couple of minutes that we've got. We talked about this pit and the bow. Fascinating. The Gemara in Shabbos actually brings the same thing together. It brings that Yosef's bow was 20 amas high, 20 amas deep. And that's why they couldn't, more than 20 amas, therefore they couldn't see the snakes and scorpions inside. All they saw, the ein b'moyim, there's no water. And from this, the Gemara learns that if your menorah is higher than 20 amas high from the street level, it's no good. You can't publicize the nes because people won't see it. What's the connection between the two? So the answer is that, again, the two things that you can't see, too high, lack of publicity, too deep, you can't see what's in. That's what we've got. That's why, interesting, these are the sedras, and this is the allusion to it, where, interestingly enough, we learn one din from the other. But walking away from Hanukkah, so to speak, tonight's the seventh night, tomorrow's the last night, to take with us is this incredible gratitude that we're sitting, so to speak, round the menorah, and us and our families, and we're able to celebrate the fact that we're still hanging on to the Torah, the fact that the Hellenists didn't manage to assimilate us, that the Hellenists in various shapes and forms in every generation, including this generation, that they're out to get us. They're out to compromise our keeping of mitzvahs. And what will ultimately save us from Hellenism and the like, similar thing, is only one thing. That's the message that we learn. The thing is ahava. It's doing mitzvahs because we love to do the mitzvahs, not out of duty, not out of just the fact that if we don't do the mitzvahs, who knows what will happen to us. Not out of tradition, because that's what we've always done, and therefore it sits well with us to do it. That will never stand the test of time. We could have taken the same oil. You could have found any oil. Tumah hutra, but simply could have taken tommy oil. Would have been fine. We didn't need any nisim, and had we decided, that's it. The basic psak is tumah hutra, but simple. If the majority of klal yisrael are tommy, you can do the avodah even when we're tommy. You can use tommy oil. What's the problem? Had that been the case, we wouldn't have seen any miracles at all. No nisim, no nothing. It was the fact that we weren't prepared to settle for second best in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what brought along the nes. That's what we're celebrating. And when we behave in such a way that we go over and above the call of duty, that's showing avof Hashem. You'd never do it. If you could just tick the boxes, they're ticked. But if there's a relationship, if there's a sense of avo, of love, of devotion, of willingness to come close, far beyond just the basic duty, then you build a relationship which HaKadosh Baruch Hu mirrors. Our extra and above, over, well over the limit, to try somehow and scrounge and find a bit of oil which was still tahor, to do it in the best possible way, nothing short of the best. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded like for like with a mirror image of miracles which show us avo, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves and appreciates and cherishes our avodah, our efforts to serve him. And that's what it is. That's what's going to do it. And it's that avo which makes our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu unbreakable. If it's just a sense of duty, if it's just a sense of tradition, they can break that. They can manage. The powers that will be that are, they can break through that. That is permeable. But avo, love and devotion and a relationship and a sense of privilege, that is impermeable. Nobody can break that. It defies the laws of logic of nature. It's lamala miderach hateva. It is something miraculous. It's something that we do over and above what we need to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. We bench, even when we just had a kazayas of bread, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us only when we're completely satiated. And Hashem says, for that, Yisro Hashem Pono Veilecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the extra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us favoritism. Why? Because it's due. It's deserving. That's the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's avo flowing in both directions, that keeps us pristine, keeps us unbudgeable and untouchable. That's the message of Chanukah. We can take all our mitzvahs and make them to the best of our ability, Chanukah-like, to make them the best, the very best way. That's why we have a beautiful menorah. Doesn't have to be expensive. We put our efforts into polishing it, into setting around a positive surroundings, a beautiful esrog. Doesn't have to be an expensive esrog box. Doesn't have to be an expensive esrog. But it could be the best one that we can, best one that we can manage. All our mitzvahs do in the best possible way to show that avo radiates from us. Hashem's avo will radiate back to us in all situations of our lives. And we'll see that above natural, above the nature, we'll see it as a supernatural way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us in through our journey through life. That's the message of Chanukah. It can't be more inspiring. It can't be more enlightening. And it can't give us a better direction and secret of success and continuation, eternal continuation. That's the story of Chanukah. And therefore, if we can take that with us. It's not the particulars of the menorah, of the oil, the donuts and everything else. It is the message, it's the focus on our Avodas Hashem going forward, that whenever we have a mitzvah to do, we'll try if circumstances allow, to do it in the best possible way, to add not a no-frills mitzvah, but it's going to be mitzvah with all the trimmings, as much as we can. Why? Do we need to do it? No. We could be criticized for not doing it? No, absolutely not. But when we love someone, we'll do far more. We'll go the extra mile. Going the extra mile is a sign. It is a clear sign and note of Ava, of devotion. That relationship is built with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, built and strengthened furthermore. So let's try in the last 2 days of Hanukkah that we've got to absorb that sentiment, absorb that directive of how to do all our mitzvahs, whether it's davening, whether it's learning, whether it's whatever we've been ozom l'chaveroi, it all of it, every single bit of it, to do it in the best possible way, as best as we possibly can. The response will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supernatural, above the laws of nature, care, protection, and brachas showered upon us. Kein yirotzei. There you go. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Very good. And as inspiring Hanukkah to all. Good night.